Luke chapter 10. We took a little bit of a break last week from our study through the Gospels, and we're going to get back to it tonight. This is kind of a unique passage to Luke. Jesus repeats some things here in Luke chapter 10 that he had said previously, and it's important for us to notice those things when the Lord repeats himself. It's usually for emphasis to reinforce something, but this passage, this is unique to Luke at this particular time in Jesus' ministry. But Luke chapter 10, tonight we're going to study verses 21 through 24 and see the rejoicing and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's word tonight. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 21. The word of God says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Our Heavenly Father, please give us understanding of your word. Lord, help us to see what caused our Savior to rejoice and to see the things that you have revealed to us and to your disciples, Father, in Scripture and to us today. And Lord, help us to rejoice in those things, those truths, and help us to be changed by your word tonight. Forgive our sins, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. In Luke chapter 10, we remember that Jesus appointed 70 of his disciples, took 70 out of the church, and he sent them out in pairs to go and preach the gospel, to preach peace everywhere they went. And we saw how they came back rejoicing because even the demons were subject unto them. But Jesus said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so we've been studying about that and how that they came back rejoicing. Jesus said, I beheld Satan, verse 18, as lightning fall from heaven. And he said, I've given you power and all of those things, but don't rejoice in that. But rather, verse 20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so Jesus now says, in that hour, at that time, at the time that the disciples came back, he was rejoicing. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. At that time, when he remembers seeing Satan cast out of heaven, at that time when the disciples came back with their joy in their hearts at the victories that they had won at preaching the gospel and winning victories over the devil and his demons, at that time when he is reminding them that their names are written in heaven, it was at that time that Jesus had rejoicing in his spirit. And that's remarkable, friends, because our Savior was a man of sorrow and he was acquainted with grief. And these times that Jesus had joy in his spirit are great times. There ought to be some times in our lives. Listen, in this world, we're going to be faced with sorrow. We're going to be faced with grief. But we ought to thank God for those times of rejoicing, because those times of rejoicing tend to come when we look beyond the present to the eternal. Because Satan is defeated. And if you've repented and trusted in Christ alone, your names are written in heaven. And there's great reason to rejoice. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I want you to see the agreement of Christ. This word thank is an interesting word. It's not the normal word for thankfulness that we think of in Scripture. This word thank means to agree fully. It's often translated confess or profess. And so Jesus, when it says, I thank thee, Father, he's saying, I agree fully with you. Listen, Jesus Christ is always in full agreement with the Father. I and the Father are one. We're together in this. You and I, when we confess our sins, what we're doing is we're saying the same thing as God. We're in agreement with God. And this is the same idea. Jesus is in agreement with God. He's rejoicing in His Spirit because they are one. They are together. Why? Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. You see, the Lord, there's an exclusion of the intellectually proud. There are those who are wise and prudent in their own eyes, and God has not revealed gospel truth to those who are proud and will not humble themselves before Him. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. Now listen, friends, this is really good news for people like me tonight, because God has shown some things to the weak and the beggarly elements. God has revealed some things to those who are babes. God has revealed things to those who are humble. God has revealed things to those who are not wise, are not mighty in the things of this world. That's good news for me. Amen? Listen, if you're wise in your own eyes, you're prudent, you're mighty in the things of this life, that's not going to help you when it comes to the gospel. But being humble and believing the gospel will change everything. Look at verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Does somebody amen that tonight? Listen, we look at this world, there's so many people who look at what we're doing tonight. They think we're idiots. They think we're foolish to believe that there's a God in heaven. They think you're foolish for not believing that nothing created everything. They think you're foolish for not believing that you evolved from some single-cell amoeba into everything that's in the world today. They think you're foolish for believing there's a God who created everything, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, and that He died and rose again. They think you're crazy and foolish for believing the story that are in your Bible. But dear friends, when I hear the gospel, I'm not a fool for believing it. I know that it's the power of God to salvation. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The wisdom of this world rejects God. The wisdom of this world is turned into foolishness. I showed you several months ago that there are some of the most brilliant, supposedly most brilliant minds in the world will tell you today that it's not stupid or foolish or ridiculous to believe that everything came from nothing. And they say that with great pride. Listen, friends, that's ridiculous. Amen. To believe that everything came from nothing, that's scientifically impossible. And so the wisdom of this world has become foolishness. Amen. So God, after the wisdom of God by the world, wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And listen, God has chosen to save those who will humble themselves and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a foolish thing to the world. That's a weak thing to the world. But that's where we're made mighty. And so the wisdom of this world is cast down. The foolishness that the world sees in us is actually our salvation, because it's in Christ. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. So God gives an exclusion of those that are intellectually proud, but there's an inclusion of those who are spiritually humble. He says, and has revealed them unto babes. Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. We've got to have a childlike faith. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. With that simple childlike faith, we come to him. And so God has revealed his truth to those who are like babies. We just believe him. We just simply believe him. Mark 10:15. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And then he gives the revelation of the Son. I want you to, back in our text in Luke 10:21, and has revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. For so it seemed good in thy sight. We look at the scriptures. We look at life. We look at things around us. Sometimes we wonder, why is it like that? Sometimes the only answer we can have is, even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. Because that's the way God made it. Because that's what God ordained. But I want you to think about that. We may not understand it now, but we understand it's God's plan. It's God's will. That's the way it is. But really, there's no better answer than that. It seemed good in God's sight. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Why? Because God chose to. You know, when we understand that something is right because it's the will of God, that's a far better reason than anything we could come up with our own mind, with our own reasoning. When we come up with answers on our own, sometimes we're trusting in our own fallible, feeble, finite minds. But when we trust the will of God according to the Word of God, we are trusting in the infallible, perfect God. He reveals himself to us. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me and my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And I want you to know that God has revealed himself to us through his Word. I've asked you to consider this before, but can you imagine what your life would be like if you didn't have a Bible? Most of you have stacks of Bibles. Most of you today are like me. I've got about 5 different Bible apps on my phone, in my pocket, everywhere I go. It's an incredible resource that we have today. I've got Bibles in my truck. I've got Bibles at home. I've got Bibles in my office. There are Bibles everywhere I go. It's an amazing thing. But can you imagine if you never owned a Bible? Can you imagine if nobody you knew ever had a Bible? Can you imagine the darkness that surrounds places in the world today where there are no Bibles, where it's illegal to have one? Imagine being in China today where the government is burning Bibles and burning Christian literature. Can you imagine what it would be like to not have a Bible? This is the revelation of God's truth. This is how God has revealed himself to us, because today, you and I, dear friends, Jesus is there speaking to multitudes that day and to his disciples, and he's going to really focus in on his core group in a moment, but Jesus was there speaking to them, and they got to hear his voice, and they got to see him and hear him, but we have that record today, friends. We have that truth today, and we ought to rejoice that we have that truth. In the evangelist Billy Sunday's Bible, after he passed away, they found this written in the flyleaf of his Bible. I want you to listen to this. 29 years ago, with the Holy Spirit as my guide, I entered in at the portico of Genesis, walked down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries, where pictures of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel hung on the wall. I passed into the music room of psalms, where the spirit sweeps the keyboard of nature until it seems that every reed and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. I entered the chamber of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher is heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon and the lily of the valley, where sweet spices filled and perfumed my life. I entered into the business office of Proverbs, and on into the observatory of the prophets, where I saw telescopes of various sizes pointing to far-off events, concentrating on the bright and morning star which was to rise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thence into the correspondence room with Paul, Peter, James, and John writing the epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where tower the glittering peaks, where sits the King of Kings upon his throne of glory, with the healing of the nations in his hand. And I cried out, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." Would to God that you and I, when we looked at our Bibles, would be impacted like that. Would to God that it wasn't just a thing that we felt that we must do, that we had to read our Bible every day, but when we looked into the Scriptures, we saw Christ. That we saw him high and lifted up when we read the prophets, that we looked for Jesus and those men who looked afar off to see him. And if we would look back in Genesis and see the truths and the pictures and the promise of his coming, as we would listen to the sweet words of our Savior here in the New Testament and the Gospels, that we would listen to the Apostle Paul and Peter as they talk about our Savior, and John, the beloved disciple, and we would listen to them and be moved by them and to have a heart and a passion for them. Listen, whatever you think about Billy Sunday, the man was a great preacher of the gospel, and thousands came to Christ. Why? Because he loved the Word of God, and he loved the God of the Word. And you can see it when he talks about his Bible. The passion that he had, dear friends, we need to have that. Listen, God has revealed himself to us, and we ought to rejoice. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, who the Son is, but the Father, who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. I want to ask you tonight, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Friends, if you know him, it's only because he's revealed himself to you, and he did that through his Word. And if you know him, do you want to know him more? A couple of times the last few weeks it's come up. I tend to preach the gospel a lot around here. The death and resurrection of our Savior. And I'm not saying anybody here has complained or anything at all like that, but it's my understanding that there are some people in some places that get tired of hearing the old, old story. I'll never grow tired of hearing how Christ died for me and rose again. If you get tired of hearing the gospel, dear friend, you better examine your heart. Because he has revealed himself to me. I know him. And he knows me. Verse 23 in our text says, and he turned him to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." We see the rejoicing that Jesus had, and he gave thanks to God. He was in agreement with the Father about the exclusiveness of the gospel, that he didn't reveal it to those who were wise in their own eyes, but he revealed it to those who were babes, who humbled themselves and came to Christ in simple faith. But then we see the revelation that he gives, that he has revealed himself And when he turned to his disciples, he said, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. And I want you to know something, that we may not see Jesus with physical eyes today, but you can see him with eyes of faith. You may not be able to hear the voice of Jesus, and I don't know how you people work in your mind, but I often wonder what his voice sounds like. Now his voice sounds like the sound of many rushing waters. His voice sounds different in the glorification, but in that day, Jesus sounded like a man. But I want to tell you something, friends. I have an idea that his voice was sweeter than any other voice. We may not get to hear his voice. Imagine what it was like that day when Jesus got in the ship and pushed out a little ways into the water and he preached to the crowd on the shoreline. Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear him that day? Well, after his resurrection, when he walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and he revealed to them and opened to them the scriptures and showed them himself starting from Moses all the way through and he spoke to them along the way. Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear him that day? But I want you to know we can hear him today. I want to confess to you tonight, friends, I don't love my Bible like I wish I loved my Bible. Every time we open this book, we ought to hear him. Every time we look into the pages of Scripture, we ought to see him. I've told you before, and you need to remember that when he talks about seeing, it's more than just a visual concept. It's a concept of understanding. He's revealed himself, and we don't just see, we understand. We use it like that sometimes, right? Oh, I see. What are we saying? We're saying, I understand. And that's what the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to know him. He wants us to understand who he is and what he has done for us. I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things for which ye see and have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. I want you to understand today that you sitting here tonight with a New Testament Bible have more opportunity to understand truth about who Christ is and what he's done than Isaiah did, than King David did. We have a full revelation of who Christ is. And they saw afar off, and they saw dimly, and they saw something darkly, but they didn't understand. Friends, we are incredibly blessed to have a Bible today. I want you to look at one passage of Scripture with me. One more passage of Scripture with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to pause just a second. Peter is encouraging Christians who are going through great trials and temptation, and they're going through persecution. And he starts out by saying, I want you to greatly rejoice in the trouble that you're going through because God has great things in store for you. I don't know about you, but I don't like trials. I don't like temptations. I don't like having a head cold. I mean, I'm the world's biggest baby about everything. I'm allergic to pain. I'm allergic to everything. But I'm telling you, friends, we look in the Scriptures, we see men and women in the Lord's churches who went through incredible persecution, and the response that God expected them to have was rejoicing. And friends, as good as we've got it today right here in these United States of America, right here in Mulder, Oklahoma, right here at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, we ought to have more rejoicing than anybody in the world. We're so incredibly blessed. With freedom and with truth and life. I wonder sometimes if we wouldn't have a little more joy if we had a little more trials. So he says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You got to go through a little bit of trials and temptation, but your faith is more precious than gold, and you can be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You can give praise and honor and glory to Jesus when you are found faithful when he comes again. All right, look at verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We haven't seen him with these eyes. We're believers who are past that time. Jesus died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And we haven't seen him, but we believe. And so because we believe, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I love that song. I like to try to sing all the way through the chorus on one breath. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Friends, we ought to have great joy in our hearts today and every day because of Christ. Why? Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We've got trials and temptations, sin, sorrow, sickness, and even death that we face here and now. But dear friend, if you are in Christ, you have life everlasting. Your soul is saved. Verse 10. And this is what really ties back into our text. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And he said, listen, those prophets of old, they wanted to know what was coming. They had a little bit of an idea, but they understood something. They understood that what they were writing was not for them, but it was something to minister to those in the future, which is us today. The churches that Peter was writing to, all the way down through the ages to where we sit today, and all the churches that may come after us until Jesus comes again, these truths have been given to us so that we might know him. The things that you see, the things that you hear, God has revealed himself to us so that we could know him. I thank thee, Father, O Lord of heaven, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. I wonder tonight, I asked you the question earlier, do you know him? If you know him, that means he knows you. I wonder tonight, if you know him, do you want to know him more? Friends, we ought to have a heart for Christ and a heart for his word. I pray that he'll stir up a passion for his word in our hearts today and every day. Let's stand together. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. The only way that we can know Christ is to trust in him. The only way you can truly trust in him is with that childlike faith. If you've never been saved, I plead with you tonight, repent and trust in Christ alone. If you're saved and you don't have a passion for him, to know him, you need to talk to him about that tonight. We need to repent for our lack of a passion for him. If he's convicting your heart about anything tonight, you get your heart right with the Lord right now while we sing. Page 5.